Sunday the 25th of February 2018, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Yahweh. Sermon title, Yahweh Shema, the Lord is there. Bible reading, Ezekiel chapter 37, 15 to 23. Talk by Reverend Chika Nduku.
And this morning's reading is taken from the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, beginning to read at the 15th verse. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, take a stick of wood and write on it, belonging to Judah and the Israelites associated with him. Then take another stick of wood and write on it, Ephraim's stick, belonging to Joseph and all the house of Israel associated with him. Join them together into one stick so that they will become one in your hand. When your countrymen ask you, won't you tell us what you mean by this? Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am going to take the stick of Joseph, which is in Ephraim's hand, and of the Israelite tribes associated with him, and join it to Judah's stick, making them a single stick of wood, and they will become one in my hand. Hold before their eyes the sticks you have written on, and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never again be two nations, or be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols and vile images, or with any of their offences. For I will save them all their sinful backsliding, and I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. This is the word of the Lord.
May I speak your word in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the second Sunday in Lent. Can I just take some minutes to talk a bit of what Lent means to us? In 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6, examine yourself as whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. These 6 weeks before Easter is called Lenten season. It is a time to focus on the suffering, death and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Because Jesus died and thus paid our sins, we have life. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we too will rise and enjoy the heaven forever. The original period of the Lent was 40 hours. It was spent fasting to commemorate the suffering of Christ and the 40 hours he spent in the tomb. In the early 3rd century, Lent was lengthened to 6 days. About 800 AD, it was changed to 40 days. Lent starts on Ash Wednesday, 40 days before Easter. Sunday are not included in those 40 days. Those 40 days correspond with Christ's 40 days in the wilderness. In part of the countries Women of the parish traditionally spent Holy Week scrubbing the church so it will be sparkle for the festive Easter. The Lenten season is intentionally set aside for examination, instruction, repentance, and prayer. This season is one of the preparation for all people of God. During Lent, many people will give extra time to personal and public prayers. Galatians chapter 6, 3 to 5. If anyone think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. For some, fasting is a time of self-examination and a denial. Yet, fasting is not an appropriate discipline for everyone. The purpose of Lenten discipline is to strip away those things which clutters one's life or impend one from being in relationship with God. It is also a time for people to experience and reflect on the suffering of Jesus in light of personal sin and unrighteousness. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. As Christ fasted and prayed in the desert for 40 days, we try to be mindful of Christ for the standard by which he lives our lives, with goals of self-giving and suffering love. With such high goals, any pragmatic response may seem to fall short, yet an attempt to incorporate prayers, meditation, and useful action in the path of Christ in our lives. Luke 9, chapter verse 23. Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. Yahweh Shammah, which is our topic today. Although I love the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem in particular, this name of God speaks to me in a very unique way. First, let me examine the meaning of this name and then seek to apply it to our lives. Jehovah Shammah is a name of God that is symbolic of Jerusalem. We find this name for God used in Ezekiel 48 verse 35. The distance around the entire city will be 6 miles. And from that day, the name of the city will be the Lord is there. At the height of idolatry of God's chosen people, God withdrew his presence not only from the temple, but even from the city of Jerusalem. Such was his anger and displeasure over the repeated rebellion of Israelites. And he said, in fact, I'm done with them. I'm out of here. When God's presence departed the temple, it signaled to the Israelites and all who dwelt around them that God has removed his hand of protection from them. They would ultimately be scattered to the four corners of the earth and taken captive by surrounding nations. God did not completely wash his hand of Israelites. However, his love and mercy were always with them, continually drawing them back to himself. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God promised a restoration of the nations and return of his presence to Jerusalem. And that day the city would be called Jehovah Shammah. That very prophecy came true when the exile returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the wall. God's presence returned to the temple in the form of tiny baby brought to the temple to be offered back to God by his parents, Joseph and Mary. Let's think about how this name, Jehovah Shammah, applies to us. So often you and I live our lives looking ahead of such events. Sometime our lives, some potential disaster, some looming death, we may wonder what that death will bring to our lives or how we will survive it. Perhaps it is a doctor's appointment or a court date or your child leaving home or your mate passing away. It could be a new job, a divorce, or moving from a place that you have called home for many years. Whatever this future event is, it causes you to have a knot in the pit of your stomach every time you think about it. But it's real. This future occurrence causes you huge amount of stress, anger, and worry. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Our God is already in your tomorrow. He is already know what your future looks like. He has completely control over it. We are told in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that Jehovah Shammah says, "For I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." The Lord is there. You cannot be in your future, but He can. You can't control your future event of your life, but He can. Jehovah Shammah will walk with you into whatever tomorrow holds because of His great love for you. God is there in your tomorrow and in my tomorrow. He simply desires that we must trust Him. In our reading this morning, we can see that God likes taking things that are broken or divided and then put them back together to breathe life back into them. He loves to take two and make them one. He desires to have us all serve Him as the true King. He loves to cleanse and set people free. This is a text that encourages us to search for God and peace. This section of scripture is the follow-up of Ezekiel 37:1-14, which spoke of God's spirit bringing to life the valley of dry bones. It is one of the 10 prophecies that promised the resurrection of this nation of Israel. So we see once again the accuracy of the word of God. But prophecy also has a spiritual application to anyone who find themselves in the valley of dry bone or a life that is lifeless. God is able to bring life back into deadness by breathing the breath of life back into the dead bone, into a dead life, dead community, and dead families. God tells Ezekiel to take two sticks, one representing Judah and one representing Ephraim, which is Joseph's stick. The Lord tells him to join them together into one big stick, God's stick, an instrument in His hands. This communicates God's desire and will to have unity. It tells the nation of Israel and us that God's people are reconciled with each other by His mighty, powerful hands. That God's Spirit can take any nation or organization from division to unity. The lesson is the idea of taking two parts to make them one, joining them together. It is bringing unity back to Israel by my fresh breath from heaven. Do you want the unity that God gives in your heart? Do you want the unity in your family? Today, God is bringing the unity in your life, in your family, in your relationship, in your workplace, in St. Charles. Are we able to let this unity to come? Are we ready to embrace the unity that God only can give? Are you ready to inhale this breath from God? The reuniting of the nation brings back the people of God who return with repentant hearts. Those who come home to God's kingdom will choose to no longer defy themselves anymore. They will commit themselves to serving and honoring their heavenly Father. This king, by the way, is called Jesus Christ. As we journey with Christ at this season, may we ask ourselves where we are with Jehovah Shammah. Our God is able to forgive all our unrighteousness. He is able to unite us with himself. He is able to unite us with our families. Only call upon his name, and he is there for you. We can only find rest by pursuing relationship with God. We live in a world that is full of stress and distress, and it's hard to find rest. But recent scientific studies had proven the importance of rest for our physical well-being. Lack of sleep has been shown to increase the likelihood of causing several forms of diseases to the body. Perhaps one of the reasons that Psalm 23 is so treasured by so many believers is that it captures the essence of what it means to rest in God by pursuing our relationship with him. In conclusion, may I read the Psalm 23 slowly and gently. Can we meditate each word and each phrase and relate it to the relationship we have with God? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.